Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins, and take careful note, on the second line from the top of Chof Dalid Omid Beis. We repeat, Chof Dalid Omid Beis, second line from the top. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and here, out of character, we note that this topic heading is based on the Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil Midi, Rashi on the fourth narrow line of the Rashi commentary, Rashi Masbira Hevdel Bein Isur Koilel LeIsur Moisif. These terms are very significant. We have discussed at great length the concept of Isur Kolel in our previous shiur, citing a number of examples. The general topic has to do with Isur Chal Al Isur. When something is prohibited, can it become more prohibited or more usur? In other words, if one, using an example that we had at the end of our previous shiur, if one would eat unkosher meat on Yom Kippur. So it's clear that he's in violation of eating unkosher meat. Is he guilty of having eaten food on Yom Kippur as well? So that for eating one piece of unkosher meat on Yom Kippur, you're considered guilty of two violations. In order to come up with that idea, you'd have to say that you hold by the concept of Isur Kolel. With the onset of Yom Kippur, prior to Yom Kippur, so the unkosher meat was also as unkosher meat, other food, other kosher food was allowed to be eaten. Yom Kippur sets in, so all the previous allowed food now becomes usur as a result of the onset of Yom Kippur. So together with the kosher food becoming prohibited, the unkosher food also becomes prohibited as a Yom Kippur violation. That's a concept called Isur Kolel. And if you hold by Isur Kolel, the previously unkosher meat becomes more forbidden now on Yom Kippur. The new idea, Isur Moisif, is something that will be referred to as we open the Gemara. So without any further ado, let us read a couple lines of Gemara and then go into Rashi for a full explanation. Omar Rava, my taimo demand the is le Isur Kolel. What is the basis of accepting that concept of Isur Kolel? Answer, midi dahave aiser mosif, as essentially an extension of accepting the concept of isur mosif. We didn't explain, we didn't use any examples yet, but if you hold that isur chalal isur, if you hold that a second prohibition can be superimposed on a pre-existing prohibition, as is the case in isur mosif, so I am willing to extend that idea of Isur Chalal Isur to the example represented by Isur Kolel. Uman de Potar, de Lesle, the opinion who rejects the idea of Kolel. For example, we saw in our previous shiur that one who eats nevela on Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Shimon, he is exempt from a Yom Kippur violation, and he won't have to bring a sin offering that one would bring having eaten kosher food on Yom Kippur. Why is one exempt for a Yom Kippur violation? because, and we're talking now about Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold from Isur Chal al Isur through the mechanism of Isur Kolel. The Gemara continues, Ki Omar Isur Moisif Bechado Chaticha. The opinion that rejects Isur Kolel may very well be willing to accept Isur Moisif because the second prohibition is being superimposed directly on the item that was previously prohibited. However, b'shtei chatichos lo amrinon, when the second isur, the second prohibition, is manifest on a separate item, as we had in the case of the kosher food on Yom Kippur, only because a second, the non-nevela, nevela was already also before Yom Kippur. With the onset of Yom Kippur, a second item, that's called shtei chatichos, a second item becomes prohibited, namely the kosher food becomes prohibited, and with its becoming prohibited, you want the originally prohibited nevela to become usur as a Yom Kippur violation. That far, he is not willing to go. As far as the continuation of the Gemara is concerned, Rava discusses within the opinion that holds from Isur Kolel what would be the din of the following, and he gives you a case. But before we go into that, let us look at the Rashi. Even though we offered an explanation already, but we didn't offer concrete examples. And these concepts are so important. They appear numerous times throughout the Shas. It's worthwhile trying to get a handle on them, and I think that this Rashi represents a very clear description of the difference between Isur Kol and Isur Moisif. And if we would have Siyata Dishmaya, whenever you see the terms Isur Kol and Isur Moisif appearing, you would know to refer to this Rashi. We'd be all the better for that. So now the Rashi, fourth narrow line, Midi Dehave a Isur Moisif. Deman de les le isur chalal isur, the opinion that says that when something is prohibited, it cannot become more prohibited. Namely, a second prohibition cannot be superimposed on something that is already forbidden. Be isur kolil isle. Let us say again, let's read that more accurately. Deman de lesle isur chalal isur be isur kolel. He who rejects the concept of isur chal isur through an isur kolel, we said Rabbi Shimon, for example, eating the nevela on Yom Kippur, isle be isur mosif. He, that very same opinion, will accept the concept of isur chalal isur if it's in the form of isur mosif. Kidamrinu biyavomas perak arba achin. Moide Rabbi Yosi b'Isur Moisif. And there's an example of someone that does not hold from Isur Kolel, but will accept Isur Moisif. We didn't explain yet what Isur Moisif is. Notice with the markings in the Rashi, you see that Rashi first describes Isur Kolel, and then later describes Isur Moisif. So if if you set up a hierarchy of concepts, the idea of Isur Chalal Isur might not be accepted, even if it's through Isur Kolel. But once you get to Isur Moisif, then those who reject Isur Chalal Isur, when it comes to Isur Moisif, they're willing to accept Isur Chalal Isur, a second Isur being superimposed on a first one. Again, we're being a bit abstract. So let's continue with the Rashi. Isur Kolel, Kori Hecha, Isur Kol is an expression in a situation, De'ein Isur Achroin Moisif Al HaChaticha Klum, where the second Isur doesn't add anything to the prohibited piece. In other words, the second Isur doesn't affect, let's say, directly the already prohibited piece. Avol marbehu isur al ha'odom bidvorem achirim. what happens in Isur Kolel is that the second Isur affects the individual with regard to other items. Kagon Avela B'Yom HaKippur. Like the case of prohibited food, and then Yom Kippur sets in. The lo bo la'osra elo b'achila. When Yom Kippur sets in, Yom Kippur is a day that presents eating prohibition. Well, if you're talking about eating prohibition and you're looking at the nevela, u'b'achila kfar asurahi mishum nevela. That piece of unslaughtered meat is already prohibited in eating. And its prohibition is called nevela. Very nice. Yom Kippur sets in at the sundown after the ninth of Tishrei. Very nice. Nimtza shelo hosif olel isur achron klum. The onset of Yom Kippur doesn't add to the nevela any new prohibition. If Yom Kippur represents a day of eating restriction, the nevela was already usur anyway. So what effect does Yom Kippur have? Avo riba isura al ha'odam la'oisrei b'chol oichlin sheba'oilam. What Yom Kippur does affect, it affects the person with regard to all other foods. And we say, Migu dechal Yom HaKippurim ala Odom li'osir b'shar oichlin, mishum Yom HaKippurim, since Yom Kippur manifests itself on the person with regard to other foods as now becoming restricted, koilil nami es hanavelo imoyim lischayev mishum Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur sweeps in, so to speak, nevela as well. That through the eating of nevela Yom Kippur, one will be guilty of a Yom Kippur violation. So when eating the nevela Yom Kippur, you have Isur Chalal. So the Isur of Yom Kippur sets upon, is superimposed upon the nevela, the already prohibited meat. Isur Mosif. Kishayisur achron moisif al chaticha atzma dover shelohoya ba ayde isur rishon. Vioiser ho achron hachaticha b'meshoy simuteres koydem shebo isur achron. In the case of isur moisif, the second isur appears directly on the item that was previously usur, because it introduces a new aspect of prohibition that had not been on that very piece beforehand. Kagon. And here we have examples. Chelev shel kodesh. Chelev is forbidden fats and membranes found in kosher variety animals. One who eats chelev, even during of any slaughtered animal, regardless of whether it's sanctified or not sanctified, chelev is prohibited. And as a result, it's common knowledge that in many circles today, people, after slaughtering kosher variety animals, cows and sheep, they will eat only the front half of the animal, the hindquarters, in which there is located the chelev, and especially when it comes to different organs, people simply don't eat that part of the animal because the removal of the chelev is timely and costly. Chelev is prohibited in all kosher variety animals. Of kosher domestic variety animals. As opposed to chayos, then chelev is not something restricted. But for the time being, we're making reference now to chelev of a sacrifice. So chelev of kodesh, osur lechol mishum chelev. person is not allowed to eat the chalev of a sacrifice because it's usur as chalev. Umutur l'gavol l'mizbeach. However, the chalev is permitted to be put on the altar. Not only permitted, it's obligated to be offered on the altar. The altar of the Beis HaMikdash offered heavenwards to Hashem. Now, let us imagine you have a sacrifice that was slaughtered and its blood was sprinkled, as you are to do with sacrifices, but you didn't hurry and offer it on the altar. Sundown of that day set in and you didn't put it on the altar. Nase noisar. It becomes something called nosar. Now, you should realize, in general, the concept of nosar applies to sacrifices that are left beyond their time. Those sacrifices that were left beyond their time, you're not allowed to eat their meat. You're certainly not allowed to eat their chalev, but you're not allowed to eat even their meat. So now, you have a sacrifice, and it's chalev, and the sacrifice was left unoffered, and it became nosar, nase nosar. Moisif alav isur lema shahoisa muteres loy. The nifsal lahakrova. The chalev of this sacrifice, that very chalev that was usur anyway, a new element of prohibition sets upon that chalev, namely, now that it's become nosar, I'm not allowed to be makrivin. Nifsal akrov, it becomes rendered unfit for offering. So that very piece of chalev has introduced upon it a new element of prohibition called nosar. V'hochi amrinon, and we say thusly, mitov shechal olav shem nosar le'oisra ala mizbeach. Since that very piece of chalev becomes prohibited now to be offered on the altar, let's skip the bracketed section of the Rashi. Chal oleo nami isur shem nosar etzel kol adam ha'ochlu ischayev alav. Now the concept or the category, the prohibition of nosar sets upon that piece of meat with regard to all people as well. Anyone who eats it, l'ischayev alav mishum chalev u mishum nosar. Now, for eating that piece of chalev, which was previously prohibited, he's also guilty of eating nosar. Afalpi sheesh kan isur, chalal isur, even though you have a situation of a second isur being superimposed on something that was already prohibited. What have we seen here in the case of isur moisif? The prohibited piece of meat, the chalev, it itself becomes more usur because of the new isur of nosar. This is in contrast to the case of isur kolel, where the prohibition of eating of Yom Kippur didn't set in immediately, i.e. prohibition of eating. The nevela there was already usur to eat. In this case, the nosar, the new isur, the new prohibition, is an isur of hakrova legabi mizbeach, so that the piece of chalev that was part of the kosher sacrifice was originally prohibited merely eating. It was mutter to have been offered, but now that it's become nosar that you didn't diligently offer it on time, the new isur of nosar sets in, the isur hakrova sets in on that piece of meat. And since the isur hakrova, which is a new isur that wasn't previously on that very same piece of chalev, it becomes nosar with regard to people as well. And a person who eats it will be guilty of not only eating chalev, but also of eating nosar. And that's called isur chalal isur through isur moisif, and he would have to bring two sacrifices if he did so unintentionally. Well, let's now continue in the Gemara. V'omar Rava, another comment of Rava. V'omar Rava, lamanti isle isur kolel. Someone who does subscribe to the isur kolel method of isur chalal isur, Omar, a man says shvua shelo ochal teinim. V'chozav yomar shvua shelo ochal teinim vanovim. Person swore initially not to eat figs, and then he swore, I'm not going to eat figs and grapes. Now, in the second vow, we see a new element. We see grapes. Migu dechayel anovim. Since the vow takes hold with regard to the grapes, chayel nami ateinim. The vow will, that second vow has application to the figs as well, even though the figs were already ushered to him by virtue of the first vow that he had taken. Then, if he then goes ahead and eats figs, he'll be guilty of two violations, and he'll have to bring two korbanos, two sacrifices. The Gemara says, Pshita, what does Rava tell me that I wouldn't have been able to figure out on my own? Mahu detema. Without Rava, I might have thought, Isur haba me'elov amrina. And this, by the way, is a point of, we'll say, of logic that we saw at the very top of Chof Dalid Omid Aleph, starting from the bottom of Chof Gimel Omid Beis, where Reish Lakish made this distinction. Rava does not hold from this distinction. Namely, without Rava, I would have thought to say that when you're dealing with an Isur Haba Me'elov, then the Kolel concept operates. What's the example of Isur Haba Me'elov? As we've already said many times, the case of Yom Kippur, it sets in. Yom Kippur sets in on its own. It's not something that I initiate. So in such a case, the Isur of Yom Kippur can be superimposed on the Isur Nevela. However, Isur Haba Me'atzmo, when you're dealing with a prohibition that you created through your oaths, I wouldn't say that the concept of Isur Kolel would be able to superimpose a second prohibition called Mashmalon. So with Rava, we appreciate that even in the case of Isur Haba Me'atzmo, where you created the prohibition, the second vow, when it's expanded to include something that was not part of the original vow, the item alluded to in the original vow will now become usur again. Notice that we now have a long question. We just got finished saying that Isur Kolel exists even in a case of Isur Haba Me'atzmo, where you're dealing with a self-imposed restriction, as is the case in Shavuos. So, Mosiv Rava Brei de Rabba. Rava, the son of Rabba, asks, Yesh Oichel Achilo Achas V'chayv Alel Arba Chatos V'Hashem Echad. We have a Tanaic source that describes a situation where a person eats one act of eating, one olive quantity of food substance, and with that one eating, he's guilty of four sin offerings and one guilt offering. The Eluhain. And the following is the scenario that would lead to that. Tomei shochal chelev unosar min hamukdashim biyom hakipurim. A person who is personally defiled, who ate chelev that happens to be part of a sacrifice that was left beyond its time, and he eats it on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Meir Omer, af im hoysu Shabbos v'hotziyo b'fiv chayav. Rabbi Meir adds an additional sin offering for if it was Yom Kippur that coincided with Shabbos, and while he was eating it, he was walking from a private domain to a public domain, call that an Isur Hoytzah. That would be a Shabbos violation, an additional violation. Omru lo, eino min Hashem. The rabbis who didn't include that case said that we were interested in violations that are eating related and not carrying related. So that without getting into all of the details, you can see that there are a number of problems, a number of, let's say, violations here. Someone who is himself defiled is not allowed to eat sacrificial meat. And he did. He ate chalev, which is prohibited, and he ate noser, which is prohibited, and he did this on Yom Kippur. Lots of offenses over here. Ve'im Esau, if it were so that through Isur Kolel, you can have Isur Chalal Isur, even in a case of Isur Habom Me'elov, Mishkachas Lo Chomesh, I can present to you five Chatois. Kegoin Sha'omar, for example, a person had said, Shvua Shelo Ochel Tamorim V'Chelev. A person swore not to eat dates and chelev. Migu dechayala tamorim, since such a vow takes hold with regard to the dates, chaylo nami achelev, the chelev will also become forbidden through Isur Kolel. True that if you swear directly not to eat chelev, so the chelev is already prohibited, and you're mushbav yoimeh mehar Sinai, but since you included dates in your vow, since the vow takes hold with regard to the dates, it takes hold with regard to the chelev that you mentioned also. So could this not have been part of the example of the Tanaic source, that a person who eats the one act of eating and is in violation of a fifth chatos, i.e. for having violated this oath? So the Gemara answers, and you'll notice on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The diamond that appears are Tshuvos L'She'ela, the imisa damrin and kolel gam beisra bo meatzmo loma lo kotoni shvuah shelo ochal tomorrow vechelev ba makor. Why is this example not featured in the source of yeshoichel vechulei shebo nirsham rishimo shel averos al achilo achas, where in the source we listed all the different possible sins for one act of eating? Why is this not also included? The Gemara answers, as far as the principle is concerned, Isur Kolel is present even in an Isur Habo Me'atzmo, an Isur that you created, a prohibition that you created, as is the case in vows. However, why is it not mentioned in the source? Ki Kotoni Isur Habo Me'elov, Isur Habo Me'atzmo Lo Kotoni. This source is not interested in featuring self-imposed restrictions. It's interested in featuring the list of prohibitions only on Isur Habo Me'elov, those kind of Isurim that set in without your initiating the prohibition. The Gemara says, oh, that's not true. Vahare Hektish. Hektish is a prohibition you created. You sanctified the animal. That's not something that happens automatically. The Gemara answers, not so. Because the mukdashim referred to in the source, the sanctified animal referred to the source as bivachor, a firstborn male kosher variety animal, the kedushaso meirechem. Its sanctity, in fact, sets in on its own through its birth. Iboyasema kikotoni midi de lesle she'ela. Another approach to explaining the list found in the source. It's a list that contains prohibitions that are not subject to She'ela, to being rescinded through consultation with a Talmud Chacham, as is the case in vows. Shvua, the isle she'ela lo kotoni. Shvua, a vow, can be rescinded. It's a type of prohibition that's subject to annulment, and hence it doesn't fit, it doesn't conform to the examples of the source. So that's an answer as to why the case of Shvua, Shvuah Shelo Ochal Tamorim V'Chelev, is not included. Question: Hare Hektish, but Hektish is something that is subject to being rescinded. The Gemara answers: Ha Ukminon B'Vachor. But we already answered that the case of Hektish was the case of the firstborn. So it's not a type of sanctification that you imposed that would in fact be subject to She'ela. The example of Hektish is an example of Bechor, firstborn animal, which is not something whose sanctity can be annulled. So why Once again, why does the source not feature the case of Shavuot? Because the source was interested in featuring examples of things, of prohibitions, that are not subject to annulment. Another approach to explaining the absence of the Shavuot example in the source, Korban Kavua. The source was interested in teaching violations that result in a fixed price sacrifice that would be brought upon the violation of the offense. Korban Oyle V'yored Lo Katani. A korban whose price is flexible, is subject to the offender's income level. If a person is a man of means, he will bring an animal offering. If he's a person of poverty, he'll bring a bird offering. That is characteristic of a shvua sacrifice. A shvua offender brings a sacrifice who is not of a fixed price, in a fixed type in nature. It's an oilavirid. It rises and falls with regard to your income level. Well, is that really so? Is that so that the list features only korban kavua type violations? Hare tome she'ochal es hakodesh. The korban oylev yoridhu, a person who is defiled and eats sanctified meat, he brings a flexible price korban. The Gemara says no. In this source, we're dealing with someone, a very specific individual, Benossi. We're dealing with the king who violated the offenses in the source. Rabbi Eliezer, he, Yomer Nossi Mevi Sawyer. According to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, so we have a source that's authored by Rabbi Eliezer, who is of the opinion that a king does not bring a fluctuating price korban. When he violates something that warrants a sin offering, he brings a fixed type offering, a male goat. Ravashi Omar ki kotoni. Ravashi gives his explanation as to what is characteristic of the list, and hence we'll understand why Shavua is not included in the list. Midi ki kotoni midi dechailo kishior. Shavua dechailo apochos mikishior lo kotoni. Offenses that set in when you have a fixed, when you have an established minimum quantity, less than which there would be no violation. So those type of offenses are listed. However, shvua, a vow, can be imposed even on something that has less than the standard minimum quantity. Minimum quantity being, for example, a kezias, an olive quantity. So the list will not feature something that can be whose offense could be manifest on something even less than an olive in an olive quantity, namely a shvua. Question: Hare hektish. Hektish is something that's been sanctified. If you derive personal benefit from it, so you're over on mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is violated. That offense known as mi'ilah, for which you bring a guilt offering, that's violated even less than a kezias. So you see that even something that doesn't have a shi'ur, a minimum kezias shi'ur, is included in the list. So why isn't shvu included? The Gemara answers that, in fact, hektish has a minimum quantity. It's just not in terms of a kezias. It's not evaluated in terms of an olive quantity. It's in terms of a monetary minimum amount. Ha bo'inon shove pruta. In order to be in violation of me'ilah, you would have to have a shove pruta worth of personal benefit from the sanctified item. So it does have a shiur. It does have a minimum quantity. Not so in the case of shvuos, which are subject, or which can be imposed even on something of a minuscular amount. Verav Ashi Me'avirya, this is a different Rav Ashi. Avir is the name of his place. He says, quotes Rav Zeira, Omar Rabbi Zeira, Ki Kotoni, the list features Zdono Kores, Zdono Lav Lo Kotoni. It features those kind of offenses that if done knowingly, one would be subject to the Kores punishment. offenses that, if done intentionally, don't result in kares, but constitute a lav, a violation of a mere negative command, as opposed to a kores level negative command. So those kind of offenses, which is, of course, the case of a shvua, one who violates the shvua, who violates his oath, doesn't subject himself to kores. So lo kotani, that's not featured in the list. Question: Barei osham dizdono lav ikotani. What do you mean the list includes only things whose intentional violation is punishable by kores? Mi'ilah, which is referred to by Osham as the guilt offering that one brings for the mi'ilah violation, the personal benefit of that which was sanctified, that doesn't result in kores. That results in, that's simply a negative command that's been violated. It's a lav, and yet it is in the source. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Chofei, Bechatos Ko'amrinon. It's true that the Osham, the Mi'ilah violation, is a mere lav. But when we said that the list is a list of offenses when violated intentionally results in kares, we were talking about those kind of offenses that when done unintentionally, one would bring a chatos offering. That's the case of a shvua. A shvua, one who violates a shvua, brings a chatos, a sin offering. So with regard to offenses that are subject to chatos offerings, only those kind of offenses that, if done intentionally, would be punishable by kores are featured. The shvua violation, if done intentionally, does not result in kores, even though he does bring a chatos. Therefore, it doesn't conform to the items in the list. Ravina Omar, he's now the sixth explanation as to what is common to the list and hence excluding Shavuos. Ki katani midi dechayil amidi debar achilahu. Shvua dechayilo amidi delav bar achilahu lo katani. The list contains offenses that are related to items or to things that are edible. Only things that are edible. Shavuos, oaths, have relevance, can set upon things that are not bar achila, things that are not edible. If a person swears, let us say, not to sit on a chair, and he sits on the chair, he's in violation of the oath. Now, a chair is not edible, and yet the shvua is chal on it. Therefore, it doesn't belong in the list. The list deals with something, with things that are bar achila. Question: Vare hekdish dechayel nami aitzim vavonim. Well, the list contains the example of hekdish, something that's been sanctified, and sanctification can set upon the non-edibles as well. A person can sanctify wood and stones for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. So why don't we include shvua as an additional type of offense? Eloki kotoni dechayel amidi deis be mashosha. The list contains those kind of offenses, those kinds of sins that are relevant to things that are corporeal, that have substance. Shvua dechayel amidi deis be mashosha, oaths that can set upon things that are non-corporeal. Kagon, she'ishan, v'shalishan, a person vows to sleep or not to sleep. Sleep is not something tangible. Lo kotoni, therefore, the shvua example is not included in the list of the source. But the fact that it's not in that particular source, nevertheless, does not constitute a challenge to applying Isur Kolel to Isur Habol Me'atzmo, as we saw in the example that Rava gave of Shvur Shalochal Te'enim, and then he swore again, Shvur Shalochal Te'enim V'anovim. Since the vow takes hold of the Anothim, it will take hold on the Te'anim as well, even though he had already sworn not to eat Te'anim. So upon eating the Te'anim, in that case, he'll be Chayev two Chatois. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.